ask you about and meant to during the interview, of course, is your own garden, which you've developed in Nimitabelle. And you sent me this glorious photograph, which I might include with the interview materials, of your view this morning. Tell me about your garden.
Well, my garden is unremarkable, except I do have a beautiful view. I'm on the side of a hill looking down the Tom Grogan Valley, and it is a wonderful long view. I can't see any other houses, I can't see anything. I can see a couple of sheds. But the Monero is tough gardening country. I'm 1,170 metres above sea level, and the rainfall is very little. It's black and red basalt country, and it's very, very hilly and very, very rocky. And when we moved here in 2001, the previous owners, Peter and Sally Kaluas, had developed a garden around the house, and they in turn had extended the garden from the previous owners. There have only been three owners of this in the last 150 years.
Gosh.
And Sally and Peter pushed out the garden from a tiny little fence, which was probably about 2 meters from the house all around when they arrived here in the early 1980s. And they planted a very good windbreak, cypress hedge on the western side, and had also planted a grove of birches, some nice deciduous trees in the garden, and had formed garden beds around it with just tough perennials. And the garden was quite tight, it wasn't large. And when we arrived, actually before we bought the place, I did say to my husband, "Now, I really do want to extend the garden. Will you promise me we will do that one of the first things that we do?" So that was agreed upon. And so I did something which is not terribly clever for people in their 60s. Tripled the size of the garden.
Wow.
And so now I suppose it's all in total, it's about 2 acres. One part of it is, and that's the section that I'm still working on, is a rocky hill, a gravel garden. And in order to plant even a bulb, you need a pick because there'll be 20 stones. But going back to the original question, is that the garden is just a simple country, sort of extended cottage garden. Yes, the design is one you could draw on a plan and it would look all right. What I've done is extended it in every way, in that I removed sleepers from the edge of all of the beds, and because I just wanted dug edges, I wanted soft, informal, loose borders, and created more borders. Planted a lot of bulbs, and a lot of perennials. There is nothing in this garden that's in any way precious or special. I mean, a lot of things are special to me, but in the general sense of the word, not special. What I did do was to take advice from good gardeners around here, was to wait 12 months before I did anything really dramatic, see the four seasons here, and to visit as many local gardens within, a 50-kilometer range. And I did that, and I think it saved me a lot of heartache and saved me a lot of money. Because this is what's fascinating about this district, is that the gardens basically all have the same plants. So it's wonderful. You've got the same toolkit, And it's just what one does with them and the different shapes and sizes. And I love visiting my friends' gardens around here because we're all doing different things with the same plant material. And I find that deeply interesting. And I'm still planning, I'm still changing, I'm still doing different things in the garden. I'm lucky in that I can get help from the village if I need it. I don't have any regular help, but I do have a marvellous fellow who will wield his chainsaw with enthusiasm if that needs to be done, or who will actually dig all my edges once a year and then I maintain, and will take away my rubbish if I get an enormous amount, and do all the things that my husband used to do. So I'm lucky that I've still got that sort of support. But I really enjoy, I enjoy mowing, I enjoy whippersnipping, I enjoy pruning, I love all of those aspects of the garden. And I spend probably, depending on the weather and one's activities, probably, 2 to 3 hours in the garden every day. It's sort of my, what I do and what I enjoy doing. And I'm very, I'm very interested in preserving my views, so getting little vistas into the paddocks and preserving certain trees that I like to look at in the landscape, and on having not a huge contrast, but a sort of flow from domestic then into paddock. And so I haven't contained the garden as such. So there's just a farm fence around three quarters of it, and then there's the hedge that protects me from the worst winds. But it's a garden which gives me pleasure because you don't see it all at once. You wander around and come across things unexpectedly. It's not manicured. It's mostly reasonably tidy. But I love bulbs, so I have a lot of daffodils and jonquils. I really enjoy perennials that are tough. Anything that multiplies, I say thank you very much, except for a particular euphorbia, which I'm trying to get rid of. And I love deciduous trees and trees that have a good shape. And I'm also very happy to have very common things that do well. And I don't have a garden philosophy as such, except that I feel the house and the garden and the landscape should all talk to one another and be comfortable. I'm not trying to prove anything at all. Just want to have an environment that is suits the house, suits me, and sits in the landscape.
In the photo I'm looking at that you sent me this morning, Lainey, it looks, and I've only printed it off in black and white, so it's a bit indistinct and I can't see the colour version, but it looks like there's a lot of vegetation beyond your boundary. Is that right?
Well, there's because there's a valley and there's bush over the other side of the valley.
I was thinking there's such
I'll send you some more photos and you'll get a better idea.
Oh, good.
We're so sad that we couldn't do this in person because then you could have seen it.
Well, you were very generous to welcome me there, and I think it's worth recording that we're speaking obviously in the time of the pandemic and it's just not possible. And this is an innovation for the society, as always, innovating and keeping up. But Lainey, this picture, the Monero seems like and everybody speaks of it as a treeless area, but this is an abundance of vegetation and trees.
Well, they're the treeless plains, but I'm not on the treeless plains because that's just a little bit further away.
Okay.
But there's not an abundance. I think that photograph's a bit misleading, but there are scattered trees, and that certainly the country that you can see, well, across the other side of the valley, is bushland, but it's scattered small eucalypts. It's not dense at all.
And are these daffodils already? It's a bit hard to see in this photograph, but when they're not daffodils.
No daffodils yet.
Okay, a bit early.
No.
Well, I think that's a lovely note again to end on, Lainey. Is there anything further about your garden that you wanted to include?
I don't think so.
No.
I really enjoy people visiting my garden because you always learn something from people who comment on something they might have had or perhaps have a plant that they would... I love giving people cuttings and pieces because you think, well, there's a little piece of my garden's going somewhere else, just as I like receiving, always, where I can remember when I would visit other gardens. This was when I had children living at home. Oh, Mum, what have you got in the boot this time?
The boot? There must be big cuttings.
So I think that the sharing... This is a lovely thing that happens, I think it happens everywhere, but particularly in this district, where it is pretty tough, that we do share our plants, we share our ideas. And so, as I said before, you do see familiar friends popping up in every garden around here.
Good. Well, Lainey, thank you again for your contribution to the collection and this lovely intimate detail of your own garden as we wind up for today. Thank you.
Thank you.